Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Joining me right now to talk about the NBA and get us set for the second half of the season. When I need to talk about the NBA, this is the guy I go to. He is the best. He is the founder of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio as well. Brian Geltzeiler joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, happy Sunday to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you, pal?
I'm doing pretty good, Geltz. I'm doing pretty good. All right, so we just had the All-Star break last week. We're, you know, second half of the season's kind of kicked off here. In your mind, where's the line, Geltz, of real contenders that can win the championship this year? How many teams are above the line of real contendership this year?
I'm going to give you six teams that can win a title, three in each conference. Now, the Western Conference is the much deeper conference with more good teams in it. There's no doubt about that. But I think there's three teams in each conference that can win, and I think it's pretty simple. I think in the Eastern Conference, obviously, it's the team I believe is the odds-on favorite right now, the Brooklyn Nets. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are still very capable from a personnel standpoint, and a lot of the changes that they are making here and how they're playing during the season are all geared towards being much more prepared than they have in the two prior years to play in the playoffs. So I think they're one. And listen, I think considering how well Joel Embiid has played, the bullet the Sixers just dodged with this injury not being too bad, I think we would all be silly not to think that the Sixers couldn't be a contender here for an NBA title and be a team that gets out of the East and give a team in the West trouble. Because here's the thing about the teams in the West, their road out is going to be tougher than the road out in the East. In the East, there's going to be a cupcake matchup for those top three teams in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think you're going to see any cupcake matchups in the playoffs in the Western Conference in any form. And the three teams in the West are the Utah Jazz, who you cannot sleep on what they've done, and you certainly can't dismiss it. They have a style of play that's difficult to guard. They take a lot of three-point shots. They defend very well. So the Jazz certainly are there. And then I think, again, we'd be silly to dismiss either of the L.A. teams. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis is going to be fresh when he comes back. And in a season where the Lakers are hurting, because they had a very, very short short off season based upon their trip to the finals last year, rest is good for their main players. And I think Davis being hurt right now and then being cautious with him, I think is going to be good for them. And then, of course, the other team I think is the favorite to go to the finals that no one really likes in the Western Conference is the L.A. Clippers, who I think have played better this year than they were last year. They may still need to make a deadline move, but they have all the pieces in place to be absolutely terrific. They can be a shutdown defensive team. Ibaka gives them a different dimension at five. And listen, I think Paul George is having a much better year than he did last year. It looks terrific. So those six teams is where the line of demarcation is on who can actually win a title.
Boy, boy, Giltz. I mean, you laid it out though perfectly. Like, yeah, three teams in each conference, but boy, the stress level these teams in the West are going to have to go through to get there. I mean, I'm just looking at the standings right now. The season ended today. The Jazz would catch Luka and Porzingis in the first round.
Yes.
Holy crap!
Yes. You know, and that's the crazy part about it. And we're saying that right now. And you had mentioned the Pelicans earlier. You know, that's a team with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram that may not even get the play-in.
Yeah.
And they haven't been great this year, but that's a talented, talented team. And, you know, you look at Memphis with where they are. It's not going to happen real soon, but sometime between now and the end of the season, they're going to get Jaren Jackson Jr. back, who's their second best player. I mean, the West is brutally difficult, brutally difficult. And that's why I look at teams like Phoenix and Portland. I put them in a category, Sean, where they're teams that can beat anyone. I just don't know if they're good enough to beat everyone. And I put Denver in that category, too. Denver needed another player like Jeremy Grant in the offseason to be able to truly, to me, be a team that could win a championship. And then they lost the Jeremy Grant they had. And
Yeah. So
that's a team that's really hurting defensively, and I don't know how much better that gets. And something's wrong with Jamal Murray. I don't know. His effort levels and the way his effort kind of ebbs and flows is not something, if I was the coach of that team, that would be acceptable to me, and I don't think it's acceptable to Michael Malone.
Yeah, Geltz, I'm talking to Brian Geltziler, SiriusXM NBA Radio, talking some NBA. Geltz, just looking at the standings has me just all sorts of jazzed up for May and June coming up this year. You know, like, I'm just looking at, like, in the West, you're like the top three teams in the first round, one of them's going to have to get through the probably the MVP runner-up right now in Jokic. One's going to have to get through Popovich, and the other one's going to have to get through Luka and Porzingis. That's going to be fun, man. That's going to be fun. I want to ask you about Phoenix, Geltz. So they would be the two seed if the season ended today. They've been, Chris Paul, there's been a revelation, but he did kind of similar things with the Thunder last year. What have the last 2 years post Houston done for Chris Paul's legacy?
Well, you understand that everywhere he goes, he's the adult in the room, and if you let him be the natural leader that he is, if he can take that role, he will lift younger guys to be better players. And he did it last year with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's doing it this year with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Ayton's having the best year he's ever had, very quietly, but he's playing terrific. Booker has been terrific all along, but it's not like Booker's suffering for usage with Chris Paul on the floor. He's learned to adjust his game with him. Listen, Chris Paul is one of the better point guards to play in NBA history. I'm not going to put him up there with the best. I know a lot of people do based upon the numbers and the analytics, but he hasn't won in a lot of big spots. But his ability to come onto a team like this and take a team that last year didn't make the playoffs, not yet granted, 8-0 in the bubble and played very well, and Phoenix was certainly on an uptrend when they got Chris Paul, but to take a team like that and make him a contender, that's a big job. Now, the question becomes for Chris Paul, one of the reasons you don't put him with the top players at his position in history is because he hasn't been able to lift that team over this hump. Chris Paul's gotten to this point many a time with different teams. Listen, last year OKC went down in the first round, 7-game series, but it could have easily gone the other way. But his years with the Clippers, you have to look at, he got the one time with the Rockets, he went out and in a conference final and got hurt, and they couldn't get it over the hump. That may have been his one best chance, and that's the unfortunate thing for Chris Paul here.
Yeah, Geltz, think of how the world changes if he doesn't pull that hamstring against the Warriors that, on so many levels. I mean, the Rockets, they may wind up keeping that whole thing together because they won a title. Chris Paul's legacy changes. James Harden, his legacy. Now, Harden may end up getting his this year. Who knows? But that's one of the, you know, the NBA's probably lends itself to what ifs more than any other sport. That might be the best one of the last 3 or 4 years just in terms of the layers attached to it.
Sure. And that's not even getting into the Durant-Golden State angle on that.
Yeah.
What if Golden State doesn't win? Do they decide to keep Durant together? How does that next year coming back and winning, how does that sit with everybody? And maybe it's a little bit of a happier, more content, more appreciative group for what they had and what they accomplished and what they were. Because let's face it, a lack of appreciation and taking Kevin Durant for granted are the chief reasons that he left Golden State. He's in Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, Brian Geltziler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So, Geltz, trade deadline is coming up in about 10 days, 10-11 days from now. Look, you mentioned Philly when we were laying out the contenders here. Daryl Morey is sort of addicted to doing trades here at this time of year at the trade deadline. Who do you expect? Do you expect Morey to make a deal in Philadelphia this year?
I do. Listen, I think I could see Morey bringing in one of two guys in Philadelphia this year. I think Kyle Lowry, if Toronto makes him available, and although at this stage they're saying no, but that's what you do when you want a posture. I think that ultimately for Toronto in a free agent year here for him and with the young core that they've re-signed, I think Toronto could be one of those teams that buys and sells, that they sell off on Lowry and go get themselves maybe a younger player that they like, that fits, that they could put under contract, a la and Andre Drummond. So I think Toronto's an interesting team to watch, but I think Lowry being available, Daryl Morey's going to go to the front of the line. And the question becomes, is Tyrese Maxey and a couple of salaried pieces enough to get that deal done? Now, who's going to be his main competition for Lowry? Probably the Los Angeles Clippers. But again, the Clippers have an interesting asset in Ivica Zubac, signed to a very reasonable deal this year and two more. That's a good piece for Kyle Lowry, and depending upon what else Toronto would do. So I think those two teams would really be the ones that would be most in the mix. Dallas could be interesting as well with a Jalen Brunson type of deal. But I think that, you know, Dal Morey is looking at Kyle Lowry first. If he doesn't get him, P.J. Tucker is a candidate. He's going to be moved. They're stop playing him. He's going to be moved sometime soon. That, you know, Morey getting him back after having him in Houston would feel very organic, and I think it would work really well for the Sixers, who could use another perimeter defender and really one of the best corner three shooters in the league at this point. P.J. Tucker is one of these guys that affords you a whole lot of versatility on both ends of the floor, and I think he'd be a wonderful fit there. So to me, I would tell you that Daryl Morey, being the deal maker that he is, having this team be better than I think anyone thought it was going to be this year, I think he's going to be very active, and it very well could be one of those two guys.
What do you think the market is for P.J. Tucker? Like, what should Raphael Stone, the GM in Houston, expect to get for P.J. Tucker? And I asked that, Geltz, because there were reports this week that they had an offer of a late first-round pick for P.J. Tucker before the year started, but they at that point, they thought James Harden was still on board, so they kept from doing anything. Well, Tucker's done nothing to enhance his trade value this year. He's been bad this year. What do you think the market is for him?
I think you're going to get somebody's fallen draft angel. I think you're going to get a guy that somebody went ahead and drafted and didn't work out as well as the team thought that player would work out. I think that's the market for P.J. Tucker. I don't think there's a first. I think potentially you could probably get it done for him with 2 seconds, with a current second coming up and a second 3-4 years in the future, something along those lines. I think you can get it done for. But the first-round pick ship on P.J. Tucker has long sailed, my friend.
Yeah. Well, they can put him in the back. Whoever they get, they can stick him back there with Kevin Porter Jr. That one's two games in. That one's working out okay, Geltz. That's what the Rockets are doing. They're doing penny stocks right now, Geltz.
They are. That one happens to be working out. Listen, the Cavs sent him packing. And the Cavs sent him packing mainly based upon the fact that he had a tirade in the locker room and some things that came out of his mouth were things that you don't want to have come out of a player's mouth. And you combine that with the fact that some of his associations were not something that the organization was comfortable with, and Cleveland sent them packing. But you're absolutely right. You know, this is what Houston's doing right now. Raphael Stone's buying low, and he bought low on Kevin Porter. And at least in the short term, it looks very interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Geltz, do you get as infuriated as I do at all these people that act like James Harden blending in and working the ball around and passing the ball and deferring is like some sort of revelation?
I joke around with this all the time. When Brooklyn traded for him, it was the big take that you heard from so many people is, well, there's only one basketball. What are they going to do now with all those guys? No way it can work. The one ball theory was the laziest piece of analysis on the planet, all right? The fact is, James Harden, people forget one thing about James Harden. He's smart. He's not dumb, Sean. You know all the years you covered him in Houston. He's not dumb. James Harden came to Brooklyn because he understood, I want to be able to change my game, but I want to change my game to a point where those changes are going to result in me getting further than I ever got before. And Houston built a team that around his ISO abilities. Now, listen, James ultimately, as we're seeing, the way he's at his best is playing the point guard position. And one of the mistakes we look at Houston made now in retrospect was bringing in point guards to play next to him. Because in the end, all that was doing was taking the ball out of his hands. But if you had given him the kind of score he could have confidence in, he would have shared it much better, as we're seeing now. Listen, the revelation is not that him, Durant, and Irving are awesome together. The revelation is that they just won, 13 of 14 games, and Kevin Durant's played in one of them. Yeah. It's been the Harden-Irving marriage has been perfect, more perfect than Harden-Westbrook, who chose each other, more perfect than Harden-Paul, who chose each other. This was Kevin Durant playing matchmaker. But the truth of the matter is there was one conversation that meant the world to those two, where Kyrie Irving looked at him and said, you're the point guard,
yep,
and I'm the shooting guard.
Yeah.
And Kyrie made it pretty simple for him in that way. And people want to criticize Kyrie all the time for a lot of the craziness that goes on with him, and I get that, because Kyrie can have a controversy storm that follows him by nature, like Pigpen with a cloud of dust. All right, that's kind of Kyrie and controversy going on with him all the time, right? But I'm going to tell you something. That revelation has freed up the Brooklyn Nets in a big way, because Kyrie understood. Kyrie's got some selfishness in him. That's always been him. Part of why he's great is he's got some selfishness in him. And Kyrie looked at this and said, you know what? So all I have to do is go out there and be a shot maker. I don't have to worry about getting other guys involved. I can just go make plays when the ball gets in my hands. I can do that. And he said to him, you be the point guard. You worry about everybody else. I'm going to worry about me. And you know what? It's been perfect. And it's made other guys better. It's made Joe Harris better. It's made Bruce Brown better. It's made Nicholas Claxton better. This is a really good team. Blake Griffin's going to fit in just fine on this team. It's going to be really, really fun to watch these Brooklyn Nets. But, yes, James Harden, I will tell you what's interesting. Embiid gets hurt, right? LeBron not going to play as many games he's played, and certainly his numbers have tailed off a little bit. As good as Jokic is, if Denver's not a top four seed, it's hard to give him the MVP. Very, very quietly, James Harden is creeping his way right to the top of that conversation.
In a season where he tanked the first 9 games, Geltz, he showed up looking like he was 60.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first one he played, he came out and he had like 42 and 17, and then he tanked the next 8. Okay, he just want to remind everybody he could do it fat, and he did it fat, all right? But listen, it's you're watching guys drop around him like flies right now for MVP, and he continues to get it done. You got to look at him for it, right?
No, Kelce, I think James Harden is a delightful player. It's just, I live in Houston as well. Like, it's hard to stomach him winning MVP in the same season where he pulled that stunt. Like,
not
the previous season, the same season.
I get it. Believe me. And I know all of this, considering what's happened to the Rockets since Christian Wood has gotten hurt.
Yep.
I know all of this is very, very difficult for Rockets fans to stomach. But this is what I will say to the Rockets fans, is that the fact is everything runs in cycles. And the Rockets have had, since the drafting of Yao Ming, a tremendous, tremendous run in this league for almost 20 years. And all these runs, they come to an end at a certain point, and you got to kind of recycle this and start from scratch. Daryl Morey spoiled the Rocket fan in a big way, Shawnee.
No doubt. No doubt. Brian Geltzeiler, you spoiled us with these last 15 minutes, my friend. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Always my pleasure, my brother. Anytime. I'll talk to you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.